Hey, hey, hey! Thanks very much indeed for showing up for this, episode 16 of the What's Racing About podcast, The Wrap, the podcast that ensures that you get the most out of UK and Irish horse racing. My name's Peter Bell, and I'm calling this episode Alternative Cheltenham because it's going to be going out on the Sunday or the Monday before the start of the 2022 Cheltenham Festival. There's pretty much zero things I can say in this podcast that'll add anything to your understanding or enjoyment of what's about to unfold in this next week at Prestbury Park. Arguably, quite the opposite. You could take the jaundiced view that this is just so much more noise to add to the sonic jihad that's been waged at preview evenings, on social media, and in the widening racing firmament over the last few months. The mainstream media largely ignores horse racing these days, of course. Anyway, I take all that on board, so I'll best be coming up with something pretty damn wonderful to grab your attention at this late stage in the game. Challenge accepted then. Later on, I'm going to be having a chat with my good friend Wayward Ladd about some left field fancies we've got for the festival. Basically, because saying something like Honeysuckle looks a good bet in the champion hurdle is the kind of generic bullshit I alluded to in the intro, and to me, it's spitting on your intellect. So keep your lugholes open for some penetrating insights and righteous truths about the more unconsidered fancies in the more unconsidered races at the festival, which will hopefully pique your interest, even if it's only to prod you into emailing me about how much we suck as tipsters when all of our fancies inevitably crash and burn over the next few days of racing. Before we get to all that, though, a word or two about squeezing the life out of the festival with some ideas you may not have thought of during the maelstrom of the build-up to Cheltenham 2022. This is all aimed squarely at the on-course race goer, and rightly or wrongly, I'm assuming members of the Wrap tribe are going to be on course live and in person for at least one of the next 4 days. Assuming you are, then first up, enjoy the social side of your day or days at the course. For many, this will include having a drink, and why not? But at £6.80 for a pint of Guinness, make sure you've taken out a second mortgage before you come through the gates. It's fair to say there are definitely cheaper places in this world to go and get cabbage. I'm more about encouraging you to have a chat with complete strangers, because for me, this is what the festival is all about. Walking up to someone, sticking out your hand, going, "My name's Pete, what do you fancy in the next race?" The great life affirmation of us, the racing folk, acting like overgrown school kids on the wag from the rest of the world in our own little slice of paradise. Against them, the rest of the world for whom racing, and God forbid wagering on racing and getting enjoyment from the visceral thrill of watching thoroughbreds do what they bred and trained to do, is a total anathema. For me, this is what the festival is all about. Not some confected industry insider load of molten horseshit about some notional, in inverted commas, rivalry between Britain and Ireland, friendly or otherwise. If you come to the festival with a flag, either metaphorical or real, then turn off now, because I can't get behind that mindset, frankly. For me, if there was one improvement Cheltenham can make, it would be the quiet abandonment of the abomination that is a Prestbury Cup. And yeah, I know, I'm taking it all way too seriously as usual. So, okay, back to my helpful all-round good guy persona and suggestion two, which is, at some point, if you can, go and watch a race from the centre of the course. I'll be down there for the Fox Hunters on the final Friday. And why am I saying this? Well, because it's great to get a totally different perspective, literally, of a race and the race course. Now, I've hit on this in previous podcasts, but you begin to get an understanding of the bravery of the jockeys when you stood next to a fence and they're hurtling towards it at 30 miles an hour plus, perched on top of half a ton of racehorse who's got the brain the size of a fist, and for whom flight or fight is still a very real phenomena. This is the up-close and personal reality of what goes on for our entertainment during the 28 races we'll be watching these next 4 days. Furthermore, from the middle of the course, looking across to the grandstand and best mate, and right down the course to the Guinness enclosure, you get an appreciation of just how big a deal this is for so many people. Now, You can argue, of course, you get the same appreciation when you're stuck in a queue in the car park afterwards, trying to get out, but my way is more uplifting and soul-stirring. Open your eyes. Take it all in. And understand that you're part of something big and vital and wonderful. And just simply revel in that enjoyment. To bring the vibe down just a little bit here, if you're going on Festival Tuesday, you'll have heard plenty about the Cheltenham Roar. Well, I hate to rain on your parade, but it's not this Krakatoa come Motorhead gig that the hype merchants crack on about. If you've been to a Premier League match and heard the noise when the teams walk out onto the pitch, that's pretty much what we're talking about sonically. The big thing to appreciate, and reiterating the us against them vibe I highlighted earlier, is that it's our roar, our cry to be heard, especially after last year's zero spectators event behind closed doors. So, open your lungs, my boys and girls, and in the words of Robin Williams' character in the Dead Poets Society, quoting Walt Whitman, sound your barbaric yawp over the rooftops of the world. Now, for those of you who don't know what a yawp is, it's a loud cry or yell. Todd, I would like you to give us a demonstration of a barbaric yawp. Come on, you can't yawp sitting down. Let's go. Come on, stand up. Yeah, right on. 1:30, Festival Tuesday, the tapes go up and we let fly our barbaric yawp. That certainly works for me. Okay, back down to earth for a second with something fundamental we all know, but it's worth repeating. And that is, you don't have to have a bet in every race. Sometimes, isn't it enough just to let a race go by and watch it for the sheer spectacle? I never had a penny on one man or his opponents in his glorious champion chase romp. Ditto Istabrak in his champion hurdles, ditto Sprinter Sacra, and certainly ditto the unedifying spectacle of the Gold Cup being marketed as a match race between Denman and Kauto Star, when us race guys were all but bullied into being Team Denman or Team Kauto. A two-horse race won by Imperial Commander for the record. Aren't you just totally pumped up by Shishkin versus Enugamain versus past champions Politologue and Put the Kettle On, plus whoever else turns up and gives it a lash? I know I am, and I don't need a bet to act as an accelerant to my excitement. Ditto the Supreme Novices, which could well end up being the race of the festival. Having a bet in this, for me, is like putting a spear on a cruise missile. Why bother doing it when you could just sit back, soak it all up, and revel in what's like to be the reddest of red-hot atmospheres of the whole 4 days, securing the knowledge that your profit and loss won't be affected a jot by how the race plays out. Sticking with this theme then of doing things your own way, personally, whilst I love the atmosphere and the crucible that is Prestbury Park on race days, I do like to get out of Cheltenham itself in the evenings. By the time this podcast hits cyberspace, you will all, of course, be sorted for accommodation and entertainment if you're planning on attending any of the days. So this may well fall on deaf ears. But Cheltenham Town during race week can either be a carnival or, alternatively, the worst kind of over-emotive hell on earth imaginable, depending on your outlook. And if your mindset is the latter, then there's nothing wrong with getting out to one of the surrounding villages or towns with the atmosphere ratcheted down a click or two. There's still opportunity to chat with like-minded racing folk, but still get served within an acceptable time frame at the bar or restaurant of your choice. Or wait and go for a head-clearing walk and restore level vibes before throwing yourself back into the fray the next day. Personally, I find Boughton on the Water, Stow-on-the-Wold, Naunton, Cirencester, Winchcombe, Broadway, those sort of the places that are the very definite chicken broth for the race-going soul in this respect. One final point. Since we last made our collective pilgrimage to the festival 2 years ago, our little world has changed mightily, and not necessarily for the better. There's corrupt government abetted by conniving media, telling you how it's all going to be, should be, and what you've got to be doing. There's unelected officials pushing the science, and since when did the word science get its own definite article, by the way? And publicly funded government nudge units, for God's sake, populated with sinister-sounding behavioural scientists, pushing us into collective actions that are debatable at the very least. This isn't the rap going all political. It's more a question of underlining the deal that these are your 4 days to celebrate freedom and life and being back on course with tens of thousands of like-minded souls. So you're not beholden to anyone or anything. You don't have to be some stereotypical generic Cheltenham piss artist. You don't have to emote all over the shop about how you feel like a kid at Christmas. And you certainly don't have to listen to me telling you what to do. You go with your bad selves and your betting and your overarching enjoyment of this whole epic carnival. Whatever gets you through the night. Me? Well, if this truly is the Olympics of horse racing, then my workouts have got to be more intense these last couple of months because I want to be in the best physical shape for all this. I've got my Cheltenham haircut. I've sorted out my suits and ties. I've done my form study and I've arranged, then rearranged my festival Spotify playlist to get my nads pumping, driving into the course each day. Sham 69's Win or Lose, followed by Chris Cornell's You Know My Name theme song to the Casino Royale Bond film, segueing very nicely into Guns N' Roses Get in the Ring. All good, loud, punting and hell-raising bass stuff to stir the soul mightily. Hell yeah, that all works for me. And that's how deep I get into this whole festival experience thing. Okay, having pushed the bullshit needles into the red more than somewhat, let's get cracking now with a new voice in your ears in the shape of our friend Wayward Lad and his take on horses who are going to be tearing things up in the next few days.
How are you doing?
I'm well, yeah. You keeping well?
Yes, I am indeed. Just got a bit despondent because one of my selections that I did last week from in back here, New Dairy, has been pulled out of the Rhine, which is a bit gutting.
Oh God! It's that time of year, isn't it? It's like you're always all over Twitter or the Racing Post website. You just want to see what the latest news is, and I think I'm quite lucky that I've got away with most of it this year. But there's been a few in the past that you've been lining them up all year, all season, and suddenly that last minute they're put into a different race, or they get a stone bruise, and it's like, oh, well, they'll be back for Aintree, but Aintree's no good. It's Cheltenham that we're all after, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, because it was 12-1. And I just thought it came second in Ryanair last year, and there's nothing in the race that's going to beat it again, other than Alaho, which will probably win again. And I can see it being. I thought it's going to come first or second. You know, it's going to be runner up again.
Yeah, first
12-1 each way. Because what you can do, you can take the 12-1 now and then lay off the win part and just leave your place there.
Yeah,
because it's got no chance of nothing's got to, unless Alaho falls, nothing else has got to win that race.
It's not been a lucky race for you, has it? Because you're saying you backed Asterion Falange for it, and it looks like that's ending for the Gold Cup now as well. So,
well, I don't know. I read the weekend on this week, and Mullins seems to think he's going to go for the Ryanair.
I hope he does. I think he stands more of a chance in the Ryanair than he does in the Gold Cup.
So do I. I think the Gold Cup's just too much for it, but it just might all work out for him, doesn't it?
I mean, he's one of those. If he's jumping, and it's a big if. If he's jumping, holds up. I mean, I think he'd have gone close in the King George. It's just your heart's in your mouth until he gets over the final fence. And if he does, if he's there, then he's got an engine on him. So.
Oh God, yeah. When he gets it together, he did it last year. Punchestown, was it?
It was, yeah.
And if it all comes together, he's a Grade One horse, no doubt about that.
He is.
But he's 16s for the Ryanair, so I've already got 25s on him for the Ryanair. So,
well, I think he's the only one that I can see serving up to Alaho. I mean, to me, everyone cracks on about what's the banker of the week. I can't see anything beating Alaho. I looked at the lot Ryanair, and everything that was behind him in the market is either not going to be, or it's doubtful if it's going for the race, or he's beaten them already. So I think Alaho looks the certainty
for the week. If that race, you only get four or five starting that race.
I think Alaho will have scared a lot of them off, but everyone cracks on about what's your banker of the week. That'll be the Irish banker of the week for me. I can't see anything sort of beating it, but famous last words. Watch it. Go and run like a drain now, and that'll be that. But you're looking forward to next week. I've seen the blog. I've seen what you've put up. Some as usual left field selection. So what's your best bet of the week?
I was talking. I mean, I live in Brighton, and I work on. I'm working with the director of the Brighton Football Club, so I asked him on Thursday because Tony Bloom owns Energumene.
Right.
And I asked him what's Tony Bloom think of his all set on next week, and he was, "Oh, we're all travelling up on the helicopter on Wednesday." And I thought, "Well, that's all right. So that means it's running in the race."
Yeah.
He says we're going up there. And he said, you know, we'll be full of confidence. And that's good enough for me, because Emily Dubonis also entered in the Ryan. It's 5-2 for the Ryan, it's second favourite. And it's 7-2 for the Champion Chase. And if you look at it on form, I think Energumene is possibly as good, if not slightly better than Altior as a 2-mile chaser. And, you know, if Altior was running against Shiskin, the odds would be 5-4, 5-4, 5-4, 5-4. You know,
yeah.
They'd be joint favourites. And I think Altior, Energumene will be hammered by the Irish on Wednesday. Absolutely hammered. They will go in, they will get money off their granny's granny, and there will be a plunge to fight, and I can see it going off at 7-4.
So what's the tactics? Are you gonna let it ride, are you gonna lay it off, or lay it off and run in?
The plan is to I'm hoping my wager, which is substantial, and I'm gonna go in again probably at 7-2 later on today. I'll probably lay off at around 1.4 on the exchanges, and hopefully Energumene will come to the last fence 4, 5, 6 lengths in front. Because the good thing about Cheltenham is you've got that lovely downhill stretch with that tricky fence part way down. And Shiskin, but he's not the greatest jumper of a fence, and he's got to take that at speed. I always remember Twist Magic going down to was when Nichols, both horses fell at that fence.
Well, it was Latter Lomley as well, wasn't it? It was going like, it fell twice in 2 years, going absolute winner all over the winner, fell at that same fence.
So. I think it's not an easy fence.
Yeah.
And especially at speed.
Yeah.
If you want a bit of a dodgy jumper who dropped the odd leg, it could be. Did Moscow Fly have been through that one as well?
I can't remember. I know. I know there was times when class horse though it was, it didn't always get round, did it? So I think that might be the fence that did for him.
Yeah, dive through expenses.
Yeah.
But I can see it could be that could be the fence, and then he turned in, and even the second last fence, which is straight after the bend, is very tricky. You come round that bend, and literally 60, 70 yards in front of you, you've got a fence. And you can see also, they come round, they go, bloody hell, what's going on here?
You've got to
meet the ones that run wide.
Well, you've got to meet it on the right stride, haven't you? Otherwise, you haven't got much time to recover. You're then the final hill, and that's it then. So.
Yeah.
I haven't. I probably won't have a bet in it. For me, it'll just be a race to watch. Arguably, that and the Supreme, the first race on day one, that'd be the two races of the week that I just want to watch, really, because I think the Queen Mother's is always a fantastic race for me. And 9 times out of 10, I won't have a bet in it, so I just sit there and watch it because there's some cracking memories from that.
The only thing wrong with Cheltenham at the moment, I think, is that they've got a lot of short price winners. The only race I think where you might get a big winner, and the more I look at it, it's the Gold Cup, and I can see this beat. I can see a 25-1 coming. I can see it being another Lord Windermere year, because nothing in the top five is rock solid.
Yeah, well, none of them are bomb proof. You look at Apollo Tard, that won the Betfair doing handstand. You think, well, that's got a Gold Cup winner written all over it. Came out at Christmas, blotted its copybook. Again, it's not one that I've had a bet in yet. I might take a dab on the day, but I just think Tornado Flyer is the forgotten horse of the race. You know, it's the King George winner.
There's a couple of horses like that, and it could be just on the day.
Yeah.
You know, it could be like a year when you've got Cool Ground or Norton's Coin or the Lord Windermere, it just happens to be the best horse on the day.
Yeah.
Any other day, it'll be beaten out of sight. But on that particular day, things come right. And it just might be one of those years when we're all sitting there and it's quiet as a mouse.
Yeah.
And the only people cheering are the bookies.
Yeah, well, it could be. Hey, have you got anything that you're sort of looking at in that sort of bracket? Or are you going to take a view on
not,
the day?
Not or? In the Gold Cup, I mean, to be perfectly honest. I think I'm expecting there to be quite a bit of drift in the market from some horses, to be perfectly honest. That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting the market to move quite a lot. I mean, there's still 25 horses in the race, which is an awful lot. And there are quite a lot of novices as well. Galvin, I don't think Galvin's the right horse. Manila Indo just hasn't looked the same horse.
It's not,
a Protector Ass is a good horse, but I don't think he's capable. Well, he's been off 104 days, which is, that's a big downer to me. Albion Photo, I can see him being first, second. I can see him getting in the first three, Albion Photo.
I know you've been sweet on him for a long while. You said he'd been sort of trained for to win three Gold Cups and take the winner out last year and it'll be on last year.
He'll definitely be in the first three when he finishes, and I can't see why he won't finish.
Yeah. Well, he's been there and got the T-shirt, hasn't he?
I actually marked up Mount Ida last year as a potential Gold Cup Grand National winner, and she runs off 11 stone three. When she beat Cloudy Glenn in the, last year in the Kim Yule, that was a good performance. And she might literally run into a place, Mount Ida, if she runs in the race. But a lot of crappy horses in these altogether. Mount Ida is possibly, because Gordon Elliott's not stupid, and they've got Conflated in it, but Conflated is more of a 2.5 mile horse. Which happened to do well.
Is he not going for the Ryanair?
I think Conflated would be better in the Ryanair than the Gold Cup, but because it won last time out, I think they're going for the Gold Cup. Like I said, there's so many question marks over the top four or five. It's interesting. What is also interesting is that Alaho's still in the Gold Cup, and I think I did think that was a potential wager early on this season, but I don't know what Blintz is going to do. Difficult to know.
Well, until the final declarations are made, you're never too sure. It sort of messes around with any sort of anti-post punts. All you can do is sit here and sort of cogitate and think and hope you read it right.
I mean, the main thing with Cheltenham is you've got to just stick to the basics. You know, 55% of all winners won last time out, and you're only looking at, and they represent only 15% of the runners, maybe less than that, maybe 12.5%. So that's a huge, I'm not going to back anything unless it won last time out. Then that will filter out a shed load of losers.
Yeah.
And then the other one is don't back anything that's been off the track more than 84 days. And again, virtually nothing. Yes, you get the, Q-Vega used to come one run a year, and that sort of stuff. But most of the time, the only person who's capable of bringing a horse to the festival off a break of more than 8 or 10 months is Mullins.
Mullins.
He did it with Q-Vega. Yeah. He had been off 12 months. And, he's the only person who's capable of doing it year in, year out. And whereas Appreciate It in the champion handle is going to be running for the first time since last year when it won the Supreme, I still don't think it's got to improve, given away the mayor's allowance.
That's the big thing, isn't it, with Honeysuckle? She's the classiest horse in the race, and she's got the weight allowance as well.
So Appreciate It to win first time out of 12 months is going to be tough.
Yeah.
For it to do it against Honeysuckle, he's going to have found at least a stone improvement in the last 12 months. And you've got to remember, he was injured during those 12 months. That's why he didn't go chasing.
I think it's really funny that this time of year, looking at all of the sort of form lines and there's loads of sort of trends that are going out there. And the one thing that you can guarantee is that out of all of the trends, Mullins is a trends buster. Look at it and if there's any sort of trends going, you think, well, I'm not backing that. It goes against the trends. Mullins can, the guy's a magician. And if anyone's going to sort of mess around with stated sort of facts and rock solid trends, it'll be him. But it'll be one of the greatest training performances ever if Appreciated beats Honeysuckle for me.
Oh, God, certainly will. I did read something this week, and they were saying that it might be worth doing ignoring Honeysuckle altogether and then looking at what else is in the race and doing a straight forecast between two other horses, because Honeysuckle will either win or it won't finish.
Or it bombs out, yeah.
If it, God forbid, breaks down or falls mid-race, then if it completes the race, I can't see it being beat. So you bet against it not completing by going for the what's likely to come second, what you think will come second and third, but they end up being first and second. And that way, yes, it might just be a fun bet, but you could chuck a fiver at it, and you might end up with a booming 200-1 forecast.
You could do it. I mean, one of the things that I'm saying in this particular podcast is don't let anyone tell you what to do, how to bet.
Really?
It's your money, it's your time. There's enough people in the world telling you how it's going to be and what you've got to do. If you want a life-changing Hines or that massive dual forecast against against Honeysuckle. Well, I say then now's the time to do it. You just go for it, and
yeah,
if you land it, well, the bragging rights are yours for all time, isn't it? So as long as you're not sort of mortgaging your life and your family's life away, then you go for it.
What I like doing when I go to the course is doing place only bets on the tote.
Yeah,
and you know, you think, well, it's hard enough finding the winner, but if you find a decent horse at 20-1 and it comes third, you're looking at 6 or 7-1 on the tote, and you haven't chucked. You haven't wasted the five. So instead of putting £5 each way, you can do £5
just £10
place only.
Just a place.
So you've doubled your stake. You're not losing you're not throwing away the win pals. I think the place only on the toes is fantastic, aren't you?
It's something to consider, isn't it, when you're having a bet on, if you're there on the day. But and the markets and the tote is usually sort of strong enough to stand up a decent bet. I mean, a 5 and 10 isn't going to change anything either way.
No.
But even if you're sort of a big hitter, you can put a lot on in the tote, and you're not going to move the dividend an awful lot during Cheltenham because of the strength of the market that you've got there. So yeah, it's always worth having a check of the tote if you.
The only thing about the tote too, even when we were there in January. God, they need to give the people on the hill a bit of a kick up Jaxie, you know. They can be a bit slow taking the bets and stuff, but there you go.
So what's your bet of the week then?
It's Enigumene.
Enigumene.
My bet of the week. I mean, I really do think I jumped in at 4-1. I couldn't believe it went to 4-1. I think the only reason it went to 4 was because they thought it had a bruised foot, didn't it? But then it ran absolutely. I watched it trial last week because it punches down.
That's right.
Looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And I thought that's the horse for me.
Yeah.
I honestly think Enigumene is going to pop some bubbles on Wednesday. Sorry.
I'll be rooting for you. I'm probably, well, I haven't had a bet in it. I almost certainly won't. I'll be watching it, but what day is you on course?
I'm there Thursday, Friday.
Okay, well, I'll be there. I'll be there all week, so I'll be rooting for you. I'll be rooting for Enigumene and thinking of you on Wednesday and screaming at home up the hill if it's in with a chance coming over the last fence.
Yeah, I mean, the only other one I'm looking at that I'm really fancy the idea of is a horse called Rapper in the Ultimate Handicap Chase, and I took 25-1 on it last week, and it's not the finished article yet, but it has got a hell of an engine in it, and it stays on. It's one of these horses that'll probably be there or thereabouts. Then it'll lose a bit of position at the top of the hill as he's clicking up, but in the last half mile, it'll start to invoke it. Because I've looked at the Ultimate, and I think it's a pretty poor race. It's very much like last year. There's an awful lot of horses in it that are totally unproven at beyond 2.5 miles. And I can't see Vintage Crowds winning again.
I couldn't see it winning last year, but there we go.
Neither could I. But then when I went through the form after the race, I always do a post-race review of the Ultimate. And I thought, you know, it did tick all the boxes. It was a proven stay. It came second and third in that race in previous years. We knew it stayed every yard, and it runs prominently. And there was nothing else. Yeah. There was an awful lot of short race, you know, short stamina horses in the race. And it's the same again this year. You've got to look at the horse that stay the trip.
Well, Rapper's definitely going to do that. I mean, it's run round. Like, Wincanza's an fairly easy course, but what's run one round there, one round Catterick, all over sort of 3 miles. And
what I liked about it winning it last time out when it won at Wincanza was it lost a bit of pace, lost a bit of mid race pace, but then it's the front two got away and it really had to go after them at full pelt, and it did some fantastic jumps. I mean, really did. I think the third last and the second last, it absolutely flew them at speed. And I thought, that is a serious horse, that one. Because it jumped them like it was a 2 mile chaser. It was fantastic. And for a horse which that was only, I think, third or maybe fourth run, I mean, that was seriously, seriously worth keeping an eye on that horse, Rabbit.
He's run well around Cheltenham as well. I remember New Year's Day a couple of years back, came second in the big in the 3 mile chase on the handicap chase on New Year's Day as well. So it's got form around the course, and there'll be worse picks. If you've got 25-1 about it, well, you've got the value there anyway. And we're talking on Saturday morning, so we don't know what the final declarations are going to be. But you'd have
to
think
they'll come out tomorrow. That's it. I think Tuesday, yeah. And it's about lunchtime, about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
That'll be it, and then you get your head down and no sleep till Friday, basically, looking at the form. Nice one, my friend.
All right, anyway, Peter.
Yes, you take care of yourself. I'll catch up with you on course on Thursday, Friday. I'll buy you a pint. And thanks for your input into this, and have a good couple of days. And
let's keep our fingers crossed for a great week.
Yeah, well, let's hope they all come back safe, as they say.
Yeah, that's good. See you again, Peter.
Take care, matey. All the best.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Wayward Lad then, giving us the benefit of his insight into what we think might be happening next week on the track at Cheltenham. If you're inspired by what he's had to say, I genuinely suggest you go and check out his blog, which is at www.waywardlad.blogspot.com. It's a really good read. He's a guy that puts a lot of thought into the game, nails his colours to the mast nice and early, and often comes up with a few well-priced winners as well. So go check out waywardlad.blogspot.com. Okay, that's that for this episode of The Wrap. Thanks a lot for turning up. If you're going to Cheltenham next week, best of luck. Hope you have a fantastic time. I know I'm going to. Let's just hope that all the horses come back safe. But for now, until we meet again, that's a wrap.